Willkommen zurück zu der Weltfriedenswoche vom Radio Chico. Wir senden noch bis Mittwoch am 27. September hier live aus dem Unity-Saal an der Königstrasse zu Bern. Mein Name ist Selin Glor und mit mir live im Studio ist Michael Kohn. Er ist als Assistenzrabbiner in der jüdischen Gemeinde Bern tätig. Welcome, Mr. Kohn.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. In your profession as a rabbi, you probably have brought peace to a lot of people. Would you like to share one of those moments with us?
Yeah, sure. Not so long ago, I was asked to come to someone's deathbed, an old lady, and it was hard for her to let go, and she was nervous, and she didn't really want to die. She was afraid. And that, of course, impacts all the people around her, the family. So they were wondering if there was anything I could do and to help the situation. And this is my first rabbi job. I'm just finished studying as a rabbi. I'm still currently studying and I haven't done this a lot, so it's very hard for me, and I'm not sure how to help. But I went and I tried, and I did what some of my teachers told me to do, and which is to recite one of the most important prayers we have in Judaism. Mm-hmm. And I tried to be there and make sure that the person and the family felt that I was there with them and not somewhere else, to be present. So I like to hold a hand and to make sure that they know that I'm there. And then there's a prayer which is common to recite. It's called Shema Israel, Hear Israel. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the love that we should have for God. It talks about God being the Jewish God, being the only God, and talks about learning and teaching, which is one of the key aspects of Judaism. And through this, hopefully, we try and give people a type of inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Do you feel the situation was a bit overwhelming for your first rabbi job?
Yes, it's very overwhelming. It's very. I was a bit surprised that I was so affected by it. I thought that, you know, when you're working, you're often very focused on what you're doing. But it really touches you, and also when you feel people's appreciation and you feel that you've actually made a difference, it's very meaningful, and it also then very easily becomes overwhelming.
What were the emotions that you felt when you knew, like, you brought peace to this lady or the family and everybody around her? Did you yourself felt peace, or?
Good question. I'm not sure if peace were. First emotion comes to mind is thankfulness that I have I'm in a position with a job that where I can actually contribute to people's lives and where I can make a difference.
All right.
And that's really what I was looking for when I started my rabbi education, was to try and find a position where I could make a difference to people's lives.
So that's why you decided to be a rabbi, to make a difference?
Yes. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Nice. What does your happy island look like this happy place you have for yourself, you visualize for yourself?
My happy place definitely has to be a golf course. Golf is very important to me. So my happy place is, first of all, a golf course. The smell of sand and wet grass in the morning is very nice. So yes, it's a golf course with people on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like people, and At every hall there should be a couple of books. The books are also important. Learning is something which is very dear to me, and I think that's of course family around me.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like a really good place, doesn't it?
It does. It does. What kind of books do you like to read?
I like philosophy.
Yeah. What do you like especially?
Well, at the moment, I'm reading a Christian philosopher called Drew Johnson, and it's really good. And he writes about how rituals are ways to make us learn new things,
mm-hmm.
not just for its symbolic reasons or its symbolic value, but really just doing rituals is something that is a way for humans to learn new things. And he has lots of really good proofs from the Torah,
mm-hmm.
which I had never thought about. And I've read them every year several times and just never thought about the topic. And he has there's a Jewish holiday coming up in 2 weeks' time called Sukkot, where we build these huts, small homes outside, usually on the balcony, of leaves and branches and cut off trees, and you build a small temporary house, which the Torah says, God tells the Jewish people that you're commanded to build this type of hut and you have to live in this hut for 1 week during the year. And then the reason that's given by God is that we have to live in these huts for a week because we have to know that our forefathers lived in these huts in the desert. You know, the Jewish people left Egypt after they had been slaves in Egypt, and they walked around the desert for 40 years before they got to the land of Israel. And during those 40 years, they apparently, it's hard to see it in the text, but apparently they lived in these huts that they had, that they managed to build. So, but usually when human beings, when we think about learning something, it's usually from a book or through a lecture, or in some way it's not usually by doing. But the Torah specifically says that you have to build a hut and live in it in order for you to know. So why couldn't God just tell us? So the book goes about talking about how human beings learn and how we know what we know. And the answer to this philosopher is that you have to build this hut and live in it in order to actually know this, which I find fascinating.
Nice. You teach children actually at the Jewish community, right?
Yes.
How do you like to go about it? How do you like to teach children the best way? What do you feel is like the most effective way?
The best way, I think, both children and grown-ups learn, it's very often through stories.
Yeah.
Storytelling is a very good way of doing it.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a fan of questions. It usually makes us listen, yeah. Even though we're not trying to. We often pay attention the moment there's a question out there. So I use a lot of techniques that deals with questions. A lot of I usually try and find something online that can help me with the teaching. And the moment the kids are able to use a computer or a phone or a tablet or anything electronic, it usually wakes them up.
Mm-hmm.
And prizes. Yeah, I like competitions. I like people. It also makes people more attentive when they can win something. So I do that as well.
Okay, nice. Do you like your position as a teacher there?
Yeah, teaching is important, especially in Judaism. I mean, we're supposed to. That is, the first Jew was Abraham.
Yeah.
And there is no reason given in the Torah whatsoever for why Abraham was chosen by God to be the first Jew and to start this nation. The only thing that we're told is that Abraham is supposed to teach people about righteousness and about truth and justice. And that was his main job, was to be a teacher. And that shows the importance that Judaism puts on teaching. I feel that's an important part of it. And also one of the big difficulties especially in our Western world is questions about identity and who we are is something that we're all dealing with at some point, and nowadays we're often struggling with it. And creating a Jewish identity comes about with teaching and doing, but it's hard to do Jewish things if you don't know what they're about, if you don't know what the meaning is, if you don't know where they come from. So hopefully I'm trying to contribute to give some of the kids, to give them this idea about where these Jewish customs come from and why they're important for us. And the doing is up to the family mainly, but at least the community should contribute in the teaching.
All right. So now to you and your person and your relationship with peace, I'd like to ask you, how do you maintain peaceful, and how do you stay peaceful in your daily life?
Peace in Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which comes from the root shalem, or shleimut, which means perfectness or wholeness. So something that is whole in Hebrew is shalem. Peace is shalom. And it's a good question, because usually in Hebrew you ask, when you want to ask someone how they're doing, we would say mashlomcha, mashlomech. So we ask what's your peace, and that's how we inquire about how someone is doing on a daily basis. And I think it's so peace fits very well with your question in Hebrew. Basically, how is your inner self doing?
Yeah.
And how do I do it? This time of year in the Jewish calendar, the main topic is forgiveness. Apologies and forgiveness. Yeah. We just finished, two days ago, the Jewish holiday, New Year, which is called Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is also named in Hebrew Yom Hadin, which is the Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, there's a whole month of very intensive focus on apology and trying to make right all the wrongs that you've been doing during the year that you haven't fixed. You're supposed to have fixed it immediately and not just go around waiting for this time of year. But for people like myself who like to push it off and try and forget about it and get away without apologizing, we've gathered a lot of apologies to be made during this time of year. So the last month is really about apologies, and now we're hoping for forgiveness in the time to come. Up until this holiday, I was talking about Sukkot, and. And that, I think, is a very important part. I try to make it an important part of my life about the peacefulness, both within myself and within the family life. I think apologies is crucial. And we are, in general, in our society, we're very bad at it in general. And there are many, many examples of terrible apologies. And it's really difficult, and it has to be practiced. And I think it also has to be taught. But I try to apologize more often during this time of year, and I try to apologize better than I do the rest of the year. And my wife and I, we learned a lot about apologies, and what we took out from this year's learning about apologies is that they should really, first of all, it should include, and this is not something new. This is this is the most important thing that our our philosopher Rambam, who lived 1,000 years ago, is a very important philosopher, both for us and for the whole world 1,000 years ago. And he said that the main part of an apology is the confession. So the apologies that we've been trying to give this year are, first and foremost, it's an explanation of what we've been doing wrong. And it's very hard to actually be specific about what's gone wrong, what have you done wrong. Very often you'll hear people say, well, if I've done something wrong to you, I apologize. Or if you've been hurt, I apologize. Now, there's nothing specific about it, and also it puts the responsibility on the other part, not really on you. It's, in case you were hurt, then I apologize. So this is a very common one, and it's usually a terrible apology. But yeah, so we're trying to be specific. What is it that you're apologizing?
Yeah.
What is it that you think that you did wrong?
Yeah.
And we've also come to believe this year that an explanation of why you did something wrong is often very useful, because the need of an apology really often comes because there's a disruption in the relationship, that there's a damage done to a human relationship very mm-hmm. often, and the apology is sometimes there to try and repair that relationship.
Right.
And the explanation in an apology can often tell people that, you know what, our relationship can go back to what it was before, because there was really just a mistake and it won't happen again, and here's why it won't happen again. And and I think this is very important for the peacefulness within me and within my home, that we do good apologies. And we do them often,
mm-hmm.
and we mean them, and then it's much easier to forgive and repair the relationships again, and keep the peacefulness in the home.
Nice. So, and overall, that includes, like, that's a part of just a good communication.
Yes, right.
If you would say just being open and having a good conversation and communication ultimately leads to peace.
Yes, I think, I mean, it's, yeah, definitely, the good communication is crucial for maintaining peace,
mm-hmm.
because we have to have some difficult conversations with each other in order for our relationships to also be meaningful. And I think conflicts, for example, is something that a lot of people are worried about and maybe also try and avoid. But I think a peaceful relationship between two people, or in a home or in a community, also has to include times of conflict. And conflict can also mean people or ideas or opinions clashing with each other, which can be seen as something negative, but out of something clashing with each other also comes energy, and that's something all relationships need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important that a peaceful relationship between humans, or in a family or in a community, can include certain things as conflict, and for that to give energy instead of take energy from us, there's a lot of healthy and good communication that is needed.
Nice. Why do you think we fail so often and so often just to solve a conflict the right way, and just ultimately, like, make a big thing of it and just go the wrong way about it?
That is a difficult question. I would say, in general, I think we struggle with seeing the value in something that is different from ourselves. We teach kids a lot about respect, we focus on tolerance, but very few people grow up learning the definition of pluralism, for example. And at the moment, a pluralistic society to me, seems to mean just a society where there are a lot of different people or a lot of different cultures or many different values.
Mm-hmm.
But pluralism really is different than tolerance. When tolerance at the moment is seen as something which is very valuable, but tolerance is, you can only tolerate something that you don't like, that you don't really want. That's what you tolerate about. That's when you're tolerant. But being pluralistic really means that you see a value in something other than yourself or in ideas that you don't hold. I think it would be useful for us that if we try and focus more about pluralism and try and really be better at seeing the value in something that is not us or something that is different than ourselves.
Nice. So you would say we would reach a more peaceful world if we would just be more respectful of things we don't know, or things or someone or people are different from us?
I think a big step is definitely, I heard the Pope say so in Jerusalem a few years ago, and he said that we have to move away from tolerance and towards pluralism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it, realizing and seeing the value in others. I would also say that we also have to figure out as cultures and people, what do we believe in?
Yeah.
What do I hold dearly? What is important to me? And where will I, what will I stand up for? And what will I not compromise on?
Mm-hmm.
And that is important as well, to say, okay, you know what, this, there's a line here and I'm not going to cross it. And there is, even the tolerant has to be intolerant about something. And it's important that we find out what is that.
I often find myself in this conflict when somebody overdraws a line for me, how I should react to it, because I usually don't want to. I'm always looking for a consensus just finding a solution, and sometimes I don't find solutions from other people. But what do you say how I should react to a situation like that?
Depends on the situation very often. Personally, I look to Judaism.
Yeah.
Judaism has lots of rules for all kinds of situations, and I try to let my actions be inspired of what I see in Jewish texts and in Jewish law.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what it is. It's hard to say. I think also in Judaism, it's very hard to pinpoint where the lines are crossed and where to be tolerant and where to not. But I'm not sure. I think first of all to think about, okay, what is it that's important to Judaism? Where can I find similar ideas elsewhere? And work to try and uphold and strive for those ideas.
Nice, nice. Will you add to anything else about this subject? Something I haven't picked on yet?
Now is the time. To prepare for this meeting, and I read a book about peace written by someone who had conversations with children about peace.
Oh,
it's not the only way I prepared.
Yeah.
I read some other more serious books as well. But but one of the books was a collection of interviews with kids. And one of them said that the most important thing to do in order to create world peace is to smile to each other. And I found something in it that I thought was cute, but maybe also something very useful for us that we might not be doing enough of.
Definitely.
So I think I want to end with that we should smile more to each other.
That's a good note. That's a good message. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Cohen.
You.